P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Say what? Cross monkeys, welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Adam and Chiz. And also, Steve, why weren't you dancing during the theme song?
I danced a little bit. I was stuck on the fact that I say that I have two throats. And I was really trying to parse that into what the heck does that even mean?
It's you use them for breakdancing, presumably.
I was taking some pills the other day, and it felt like I had no throats, because for some reason, they kept going in, like left and right instead of down, and they really felt like they got absorbed by my lungs instead of my heart.
Well, hopefully I didn't laugh through you saying you have no throats, because then I can just re-edit the theme song and plunk that in.
Yeah, that's true. I hope you did laugh through it, because I want everybody to know how many throats I have, and it's two.
Yeah, I got no throats. The P.
The P.
You, of course. Hey, Chizjism, what's up?
Hey! I'm just living the dream. I'm having a good week. The sun's shining, the snow's gone, and Hades back in action.
Hades back in action, and so is the Step Up franchise, because this week we're talking about Step Up 2, : The Streets, 2008. We love it.
Now, some of you listeners complain that we don't tell you which movie is going to be next. And if you didn't know after we did Step Up that we were going to do Step Up 2, that's on you.
Yeah, and if you don't think we're going to do Step Up 3D, then you're effed in the A.
And if you don't think I'm going to say Step Up 3D these nuts a lot in that regard, you are mistaken.
Well, listeners, hold him to it. If he doesn't, head to speakpipe.com/pureboys and give Steve the goods.
Your nuts are in 3D, so 3D these nuts.
3D's nuts. I love it.
I love it.
I already love it. Hey, speaking of nuts, we need to do the Pure Boys prayer.
Clap.
God bless our podcast, please.
God bless all podcasts,
please.
We love you, please.
Amen.
Or a woman.
Or a woman. Well, usually you say so. Usually you say amen, and then I say or a woman.
Yeah, I did a prank.
Oh, and you're really stepping up right now, and you've learned a lot. You must have watched this movie very closely, taken very few notes, and just absorbed the lessons of this movie.
Honestly, that's exactly what I did. I was starting to take notes at the beginning, and all the dancing was happening, and I was like, I'm going to do a prank on myself and not take so many notes today, and just enjoy the piss out of this movie.
Oh, this was pre-movie prank. You'd already decided to prank yourself.
It was, at the beginning of the movie prank on me.
That's great. That's really smart. That's a good call.
You gotta prank yourself before you watch movies, because if you... expectations are, 80% of the enjoyment of any film.
Yeah.
So just prank yourself.
Well, and also, if you've seen 10 movies, you've seen every movie ever made. So just prank yourself, right? All movies are exactly the same for the most part. They all follow the same structure. Who cares, right? So just prank yourself a little bit. Have a little fun. Add a little spice to that. A little melange.
Yeah, we need a little bit of melange in our life. We need the essence. We need the life force. Mm-hmm. We need that spice, baby. And it's oil.
It's rain as far as this movie's concerned.
Yeah, water and oil.
They mix.
Yeah, canonically.
Canonically, I would say they mix very well.
Yeah, in my mouth.
Oh, yum. What do you got, a balsamic in there? That's a vinaigrette.
Here's the thing. You drink water, and then you drink oil, and your pee doesn't separate them, so they mix.
Your pee. That's true.
To you.
Well, and also, you put a little bit of oil in your mouth, swish it around. You got a nice... cleanse going. You're gonna suck all those toxins out of your body, baby. You know, toxins that are in your body.
You got so many toxins in your body, and it gives you cancer, and all you need to do is drink vinaigrette to get rid of it.
Exactly. Suck a bit of oil down, and that'll suck out all the toxins. I love when people use the term toxins, because they don't seem to realize that toxin means toxic, which means deadly, so... If you got mania, the pee.
Should we take a shot of apple cider vinegar every day for a month and then report back?
I mean, we should start... Are we doing apple cider summer?
Yeah. Apple cider.
I mean, apple cider summer sounds nice, actually. Apple cider vinegar summer is a very different summer. That's completely different, actually.
Yeah, and if you break it down to vinegar summer, then that's a whole different thing.
Oh my god, are we treating UTIs this summer?
Yeah. I gotta. My prostate's out of control.
I gotta dip my dinger in some vinegar.
That's good. Well, they make shot glasses dinger size for a reason. At least the tip.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, good luck fitting the rest of your Coke can in there. But you can get the tip in the head, the mushroom cap in that shot glass, no problem. Cram it in there. No room for vinegar.
No room for life or air. And that's what makes it good.
And that's why shot glasses make the best condoms.
Paper or plastic?
Hey, glass.
That's actually a joke from a movie I was watching this morning called City Slickers.
Called Step Up to the Streets.
No, I was watching City Slickers.
Oh, I love first one or Curly's Gold?
First one. And I found like a version that looks like the VHS version of City Slickers. Mm. And it was just nice. Nice viewing.
It was nice watching a 1990s rip of a movie on your 52-inch plasma flat screen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, did it feel? God, I love City Slickers.
I do.
We talked about doing it for Cowgirl Summer. It was in the mix for a period of time. We had discussed it.
I almost didn't watch it because I know we're gonna do this on the podcast someday. Like, maybe even do a Billy Crystal summer sometime, because I just have an affection for him that, like, knows no bounds.
Oh, my God. Billy Crystal summer. Can you dig that? I knew that you could.
I bet you could.
I would love that. God, I'm just thinking about all my favorite parts of City Slickers. Like, when Daniel Stern sticks that gun in that guy's face and is like, I'm going to murder a man out in the desert. It's great.
It's so quippy. Like, there's a normal movie in there if you just take all the quippy, like, fast jokes that are in it. But there's so many of those, oh, and they're so set in their time, too. But it's fine.
Yeah, and rest in peace, Bruno Kirby. We miss you, King.
Oh, man, he's such a womanizer in that movie. Oh, it's great.
He's a poonhound, of course. Yeah. That's why he died of mouth cancer. I don't know if that's true. I'm not a crook. Oh my god, we have so many segments to do.
Yeah, we just talked about City Slickers for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. What was your favorite part of City Slickers? Was it at the end when they brought the cow home to New York City and it was like, well, what are you going to do with this, Billy Crystal? This cow is dead in a week. Why did you do this?
I'm not there yet. I'm only halfway through, sorry, but no spoilers. I was thinking about that moment.
Well, wait, did you see the part where Daniel Stern put the gun in that guy's face?
No, not yet.
Oh, and he's like screaming at him and you're like, oh my god, this is really intense actually for this comedy movie.
But then he gets the woman because of it.
Yeah. She's like, oh my god, I saw you threaten to murder that man, and gush.
Yeah, first she was into the Billy Crystals, and then at the end she loves guns, so of course, Daniel Stern.
American, of course, yeah.
American.
Did you see the part where they were singing Rawhide, and Billy Crystal's like, man, my ass is swollen, Rawhide.
Maybe.
It might be later once they're kind of like feeling it. Once they're kind of not as much City Slickers anymore.
Honestly, I think every single moment that you brought up is to come for me in my viewing.
I honestly, one of my favorite moments, and I mean this sincerely, is at the end when they drive the cattle in and they're all just having a great time doing a cattle drive. It's a beautiful moment. Beautiful friends. Billy Crystal's, Daniel Stern's, and Bruno Kirby, the kings of comedy.
Oh, it's such a wholesome moment, and the movie's just about getting out there and not being in the crazy world that we live in, and I think we can all attach ourselves to that. I'm their age now.
Oh yeah, oh my god, how weird does that feel to look at movies and go, oh no, I'm Homer Simpson's age, and wait, when he was considered disgustingly obese. Oh god.
Yeah, that's a spiral that you can go down with almost any show or media when you look back. That's the dark side of nostalgia.
To look at Billy Crystal and go, wow, you had a successful career and a family and kids and a cow at my age? Oh my God, I got crows that live in my neighborhood. I got a man who sells bees two doors down from me. That's what I got.
And a New York apartment where he takes a gondola to work over the New York City Bridge. Oh my gosh, what a life.
That's awesome. Oh my God, I'm going to have to watch City Slickers. Hey, yeah. Welcome to the City Slickers podcast.
He is crammed into that gondola, though. He is, like, at the edge, and that must be the weight capacity for that gondola. I couldn't do that sort of thing.
Yeah, he was probably thinking, God, I wish 9/11 would happen already so people would start leaving this city.
Yeah, it needed to happen 10 years earlier during the filming of City Slickers.
Correct, yeah. Never forget 9/11. Or whatever. Man. Who cares?
There must have been people on that gondola at that moment watching that plane and just, like, freaking the hell out. Like, that would have been terrifying.
I'd wager there was people in the gondola that you saw in the movie that died in 9/11. That would be my guess. Billy
Crystal.
Well,
there's a 1 in 80 chance.
Yeah, we almost lost Mark Wahlberg, but thankfully he didn't get on that plane. Although if he had, he would have stopped the terrorists and stopped 9/11. Never forget.
Of course. Well, he didn't have as much beef on him then, so I don't know if he's telling tales out of school.
When I think it... At that point in the 90s, Mark Wahlberg was beating the shit out of Vietnamese guys and deafening them and causing, like, permanent damage to them. And also an underwear model. So he kind of had it all.
Yeah, big scrot.
Yeah, big scrot, yeah. I'm pretty sure that was Curly's nickname in that movie in City Slickers. Big scrot.
Big old scrot. And that's... the New York Minute.
Oh, and that's what's in the news. Back in time. All right, what do you got for us today, Steve? What's in the news?
Okay, I think the bigger news is that BBC uses different titles for their front page links than in the article. So this one is, "Can Lucid Dreaming Be Bad for You?" And then I click on it, yeah. And then the title is, "Can Lucid Dreaming Be Harmful?" Like, why change it that little amount?
I really was hoping it was going to be, "Can Lucid Dreaming Be Good for You?"
Well, it does cover that, and the first half of the article is all the positive things. They found that if you do squats while you lucid dream, that your heart rate does elevate, and it gives you some kind of exercise like normal squatting would. Do and like other physical benefits that you wouldn't understand.
That's
and
crazy.
Also helps with depression, other things, but it also can be confirmation bias if you're insane. So if you suffer from psychosis or bipolar disorder, you can go into those lucid dreams with your insane brain and be harmful to yourself. So stay safe out there with your lucid dreaming.
Fair enough. Well, hey, stay safe out there with your lucid dreams. And have you ever lucid dreamed? I don't think I have.
Yeah, yeah. I can knock myself out of any dream. Like, if it's getting too scary or anything, I can just, like, will myself out of it. But I've had a couple. One where I was, like, just flying through a mall. Like, I was walking through a mall. I realized that I... was in a dream, and then I was like, why don't I just fly everywhere, and started, like, flying around the mall, and that was really fun.
That is really fun. Do you have, like, dream locations? Like, do you have, like, places you return to in your dreams? Because, like, for me, I have, like, a mall that, and I don't like malls, I don't spend any time in malls, but I have a shopping mall that, like, I've returned to in many different dreams, and it's like, it might not be always the same, but it's like similar enough that I go, oh, this is my dream mall. This is my mall. My dream mall.
Your dream mall that you hate because you don't like dreams.
Right. It's got a bootlegger. It's got a garage. It's got a Shopper's Drug Mart. It's got all kinds of great stuff.
I do have that, but it's, I guess, it happens less often. Like, I'll have a similar location, like, every couple of years I've returned to. I've had the exact same dream before, which is weird, but nothing like every dream or, like, a lot of dreams happen in a specific location.
What's the worst nightmare you've ever had? That's right.
I remember when I was a kid.
Sure.
I, for some reason, I had this weird relationship with our basement, as most kids do, I guess.
Was it a sexual relationship?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was like 5 or 4.
Okay.
So
I wish I hadn't asked that. I wish I hadn't asked that. Yep.
But like monsters started chasing me, and I had like the worst nightmare.
Was it sexual?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No sexual. Okay. Just like I'm gonna get murdered
sexually, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
My fear was always having a dream where I would go to like hell, like in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, where they're
adventure,
like in tunnels and there's little doors and you're like crammed into this small space. Eventually I did have that dream, but I made myself made my way out, and I stopped having like really bad dreams after that.
Oh, you made out with yourself. That's cool.
Yeah. How about yourself? Probably like something Ringo related or Elton John.
Yeah, definitely Ringo related. He was just chasing me around going, peace and love, peace. I'm warning you with peace and love. And he kept saying that. He kept saying he was warning me with peace and love. And I didn't know what that meant. And I was terrified of it. And quite frankly, Ringo Starr, I'll see you in hell, pal. I'll be sending you fan mail in hell.
He's got a creepy cadence to him.
He's the worst of the Beatles, and that's an indisputable fact. And if nothing else, we can point at solo careers and go, yeah, you're the worst of the Beatles. Sure, of course.
For me, he was always the best because he was in Shining Time Station, and that was like my favorite show for a little while.
That's fair, yeah. And I mean, like, Don't Come Easy, that's a decent song. That's a pretty good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is it better than anything Wings put out? I don't know. I don't think so.
Wings versus Beatles, we'll get into it someday.
Yeah, someday. But let's just say the answer will shock you.
Yeah, and Wings fly higher than Beatles. Everything.
That's true. Hey, how does it feel to know that we're like, I don't know, 10, 15 years older than the Beatles when they were like the best thing in the world? How does that feel to know that those young boys from Liverpool were putting out game-changing music, and you and I are just a couple of dumpy dudes doing a podcast 10 years older than they were when they were incredibly successful?
I used to think about this a lot when I was in my 20s. Now I'm okay with it.
Yeah, of course, why not?
I have a good lot in life.
Yeah, time is irrelevant.
Yeah, and people are different. Some people are just absolute geniuses and get lucky and make a lot of money.
That's true. And that won't be us. But hey, at least we can talk about Step Up to the Streets.
Yes. Now, what's it? You're in the news.
Oh, my in the news is that Huey Lewis and the News are a great band. And that's what's in the news.
And what year?
Listen to the beat.
Every year. Please don't talk during the What's in the News theme song, please.
I know, but you left out a very specific fact that you always put in with your news, and I needed to know the year.
I'm sorry, 1986.
Thank you.
Also, 2023. It never ends. They're always great.
Yeah, new year, new P. I get it.
That's right, yeah. Check out Huey Lewis's podcast, 80s with Huey, or whatever the hell it was called. But only if you have Apple Podcasts, or whatever the hell it's called. Who knows? I didn't look up anything this week. I didn't do any homework.
Well, I forgive you, and
thank
I love you.
Well,
and we love you.
I was just busy making an English muff and making a coffee, and I didn't have time to look up Huey Lewis and the News, even though this is our segment.
You ever do crumpets?
Yeah, my wife makes great crumpets. Oh my gosh, she got on a crumpet kick a few months ago, and I'd come home from work at like 11 o'clock at night, and she would have made fresh blueberry crumpets, and it was incredible. They were so good.
Yeah, I like a good butter and marmalade with a crumpet.
Ooh, see, I find marmalade disgusting, so I don't know if I'd like that. But which is a real shame, because I love Paddington. I absolutely love Paddington, but I just, whenever he's eating marmalade, I'm like, that just looks great, but I know it's not great. Like, it looks great, but I know I feel disgusting when I eat it. Sorry, Paddington.
Well, check your palate, bitch, because it's great.
Hey, check your palate, bitch. How does that sound?
It sounds good. I like that phrase.
Hey, speaking of palate, bitch, I got a very important question to ask you, Steve. And that is, of course, Steve Creep, whomst was the Beggar Vance of Step Up?
I would have to say the rough streets of Baltimore, where Skinny can get shot, but also where you can dance like nobody's watching.
Amen to that, brother.
Now, Adam, I almost forgot to ask you, but now I'm going to ask, whoops, do you believe and know to be the bigger bands of Step Up?
Well, thank you so much, Steve Creep. To me, the Beggar Vance of Step Up was, of course, Channing Tatum. He was, he was out there doing backflips, being charming, being very handsome, and just dancing like no one was watching out in them streets.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. We're not even halfway through the segment, so I guess vamp a little bit more about Step Up.
Well... I watched it. Currently, the trailer is playing on the IMDb page, and Channing Tatum just did a backflip off of his car.
Hell yeah, he did.
And some pervert girl is watching him.
Yeah, correct, yeah. A girl who I don't think returns in the franchise.
Oh, big knockers.
The principal. I know exactly what you're talking about, the principal of the school, who does not return for this movie, which was a real shame.
A real shame. Like, put her in a tight shirt and just, like, whatever scene you want.
Oh, yeah. Just have her in the background in that sweater. Who cares?
Have her, like, hugging the new director Collins guy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe being like, I'm passing the torch on to you, man, whose family started this school, I guess.
I guess. My breast to yours.
Press my breast is what she'll say.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Step Up. Pretty good.
Yeah, I'd have to say there was a lot of Beggar Vances.
Oh, yeah. I just can't remember anyone's names. So Channing Tatum is the only one I got.
Yeah. I think his name is Tyler. Like, this second movie really cemented that.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I think his name is Tyler. But anyway, we got to get to everyone's favorite segment of the week.
The Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
All right, Kevin, the 420 special at 12:39 p.m. took too many edibles in the morning.
He's blacking out.
Yeah, he's back at his standard 154,000 views.
That sounds right.
Like a dweeb.
Oh, hey, I meant to ask you last week. Is Kevin Sorbo verified on Twitter? I know there was a whole thing with verification. Does he have a gold badge, or does he just have the regular old blue, or does he have none?
He has the blue badge. He paid $8 for it, and he's loud and proud.
Kevin, he paid $8 a month for that badge.
Yeah, that's $100 a year.
What a loser.
What a great man.
What a loser to pay for Twitter. Verification on Twitter. You're a dud, bud.
I bet you he got PureFlix to pay for it.
Oh, almost certainly, yeah.
Or the government, the people's people.
Yeah, but he would never take... I mean, handouts from the government is socialism, and Kevin would never do that, unless he needed some money from the government, in which case, hand it over, Daddy.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is this 420 tweet, baby? Because you last week you said he was on the weed, or a couple weeks ago you said he was on the weed, so...
Well, I am going to, parse this very carefully. So his first part of his first sentence is, I don't like either side in politics. Yeah, right. Dude.
Yeah, right, bro.
Until Jesus himself runs, we'll never have the perfect candidate.
Wowzers.
However, I'm more inclined to be on the side that knows basic biology. Dot, dot, dot. So obviously he's a Democrat.
Obviously, yeah, he's a TERF and a Democrat, and we love him for it.
The science party, what a bunch of TERFs.
Right, he wants to be in the party that wants to inspect children's genitals, like a hero would. If you want to play sports, let me see your penis, young boy. That's the side Kevin Sorbo's standing on right now.
Which I don't think is biology.
It's anatomy, certainly.
It's definitely anatomy, but also, like, I don't... like either side in politics? Are you freaking kidding me, Kevin Sorbo?
Yeah, Kevin, you practically sucked Trump's Martin to climax. What are you talking about?
You've been, like, tweeting right-wing politics for the better part of 5 years and being very terrible about it. and you don't pick a side. You're sideless, man.
Yeah, also, you were like busting nuts on January 6th. What are you talking about, Kevin? You don't just get... You know that all the stuff you tweeted and all the stuff you said is permanent record now, right? Like, you know you can't just walk it back.
Dudes frickin' begged, yo. April 20th, 2023.
True.
New Year, new P.
I can't believe he didn't tweet happy birthday, Hitler. I can't believe it. He's on the Nazi side, so why wouldn't he tweet happy birthday, Hitler?
He definitely would have got more than 150,000 views if he said happy birthday, Hitler, 420, 6969.
True. That's true. All right, oh my God, we got to wrap this segment up. Can't
dangerously close.
We were really close. We were within 30. You were almost about to hear the like the warnings that I'd put in.
Well, I can't wait to hear those warnings.
All you gotta do is listen to the Rip to the Tits Easter Spectacular, because they definitely played in there.
And I talked over them.
No, I think we were. It just happened, and I let you know that you were missing it because you couldn't hear my audio that day.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't hear the audio. That makes sense.
Yeah, too many nugs in your ears.
Yeah, yeah. I can't get rid of the nugs.
No, you were
like smelling them.
You were nugged out.
Yeah. Nugget.
Hey, nugget. Speaking of nuggets, we got to get to step up to the streets. Let's go, let's God.
What a golden nugget of a film. I was ready for this film. I was really excited to watch this. Me and my wife watched it last night. And I, for one thing, I have not seen these movies.
Oh, okay, that's exciting.
I thought I had watched at least two to like 3D.
So you thought you'd watch two of the movies?
Yeah.
I watched number two to number three.
Yeah. Well, I swear I've seen a lot of dance movies, but I guess I'm out of touch. Or I was in my 20s and super high. Either or.
Definitely that one, for sure. Because I think when we lived together, we weren't living together.
I think it was more Stomp the Yard.
Stomp the Yard, Save the Last. Oh, by the way, welcome to May I Have This Dance. I forgot that we're in week two of May I Have This Dance.
Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Stomp the Yard, You Got Served.
You Got Served, I think, is like the biggest franchise that I actually follow, dance-wise.
Can one movie be a franchise? Maybe.
Don't they have multiple?
Ideas mio, I don't know. Call me Missy. Ideas mio, I don't know.
Yeah. Honey's a great show.
We talked about Honey last week. Honey is a great show. Missy Elliott is in Honey. It's a great movie. I love it. Jessica Alba is dancing like crazy, although she's not really like a dancer, but she's doing her best.
Yeah, you gotta do your best. You can't... There is a Honey 2, and I think I've seen that as well.
Okay. I remember going to the theaters to see You Got Served. I used to be friends with this little b-boy in high school, and him and I bought Von Dutch hats, and we went to go see You Got Served in the theater, and we kept yelling it at people. We were real dinguses, but that's high school for you, baby.
That is high school for you, baby. There is a sequel to You Got Served. It's called Beat the World. I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, yeah, Beat the World. No, I haven't seen that either. I don't know what that is. But then there's, like, Street Dance 3D. There's Honey 2. There's Street Dance 2. Stomp the Yard. There was a lot of dance movies for a period of time. And the Step Up franchise is the one that shone the brightest.
And it's weird to me that I can't recall this movie because, spoiler alert, I love the piss out of this movie. This was such a fun viewing. Maybe one of my, like, top three of this podcast.
I'd love to know what the other ones were that ranked so highly for you.
We Are the Watchers, obviously.
Of course. We Are the Watchers, of course.
Mission Air. Not because of the movie, but because of the record. We had a lot of fun with that movie.
Hey, Suck Your Dick, Get High, of course. Classic.
Classic.
Wait till you see Step Up 3D and Step Up All In and Step Up World Tour. Oh my God, they're all great.
Like, I thought Step Up 2 was going to get rid of the school. They were going to get rid of, like, most of the structure of the movie and just be like, hey, there's a group, there's a falling out, there's a new group, they have to battle at the end.
Right.
But they did that, but also kept the structure, yeah, or, like, at least the bones of the first one in an entertaining way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, like, in a way that, like... I was going to say makes sense, but not really.
No.
But, like...
I mean, well, I feel like they were making it make sense until the very end where they're like, oh my god, this is going to be a 2-hour movie and we want it to be 1:30. So they do like a sad montage to show all the sadness that's happened after the breakups.
Right.
And then they have the final dance competition, and then the principal's like, okay, everything's fine now. You guys are good.
The principal looks directly into the camera and goes, everything's going to be great now.
Yeah, and then the movie ends.
And then the movie ends, and then we get to see the MTV award-winning Best Kiss from 2009.
That is a kiss, man. They really go for it.
He really goes for it. I don't think she doesn't look like she's going for it at all, but he's really going for it. Because let's face it, he's stepping up, and she's stepping way down.
It's wild to me, the music that they play during that scene, because it's like at the end of Mighty Ducks, like type of like string quartet
music. Yeah, and you'd think it'd be Beat Boys or something, but then the credits roll and you get to hear "Got a Goddamn Apple Bottom Jeans." And you're like, oh, that's where the budget went, was to get Low, the rights to Low.
So this is the note I have on Apple Bottom Jeans. Best song ever? Question mark.
I mean, for a dance movie, yes, best song ever.
For some reason, the song is just stuck in my head. I love singing Apple Bottom Jeans to myself.
There's a few songs from that era that just, like, if they come on, I'm so excited. Like, the song Get Low by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys will always brighten my day. Always. I don't care what happened. I could see my whole family die tragically, but then if someone goes, if that song starts and you're boom, 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 I'm like, forget it. It's great. Life is beautiful. I'm having a great time.
That's how I feel about this song, and I always go, apple bottom jeans, boots with the jeans, and everybody's looking at her jeans.
Of course, she's got great jeans.
Look at those jeans!
Next thing you know, Shorty's wearing jeans.
He shouldn't have said jeans in the song, it just sticks in my head.
That's true. She turned around and gave that big booty a slap. Whoa! Jeans!
Oh, jeans.
Yeah, it's a classic, and I really like this movie a lot. I mean, I'm a sucker for the Step Up franchise. That was made clear last week. But this movie is such a step up from Step Up. It's like they took everything that worked in that one and just made it better.
But still grounded it in, like, the school. I thought the school was definitely going to be absolutely gone. And it was just going to be dancing. And I was kind of bummed up when the school's introduced in this movie. But then it just works, and they keep the dancing flowing, they keep the music going, and it's just a fun time throughout this whole movie.
You know what else I didn't think was going to be back? Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
And you know what? I will happily admit I'm wrong. I was so wrong. I thought Channing Tatum never comes back in this franchise, but god damn it, pardon me, god, oh my god, I love God. He's right there in the first 5 minutes he shows up and has, like, not a little, like, hey, buddy, cameo. Like, he's got a whole thing. He dances. He does a whole thing.
He does a full choreography dance off, I guess.
Yeah.
With trampolines.
So dumb. The dumbest thing ever.
I was gobsmacked when I saw this because I believe you said last record that he's not in any of the rest of these movies.
I didn't think
and
he was.
I loved his intro. And he's a part of the storyline and passes the baton, if you will.
That's correct, because the main character in this movie, a person who has a name, Nora, that's her name. She was his, they were in, god damn it, what the hell is that called? They were in foster care together. They were, like, foster siblings, and then I guess they weren't anymore at a certain point, but they were for a while.
Yeah, they have a connection, and it's stronger than love.
I thought the first movie took place in New York. I just assumed it was New York based on, like, everything. But then to find out it's in Baltimore goes, oh, well, Skinny's murder in the streets makes a lot more sense now that I know that it's Baltimore.
They say Baltimore with, like, 15 minutes left in this movie, and I was like, oh, Baltimore. That explains Skinny's death.
Yeah.
I've seen The Wire. I know what's going on in Baltimore.
Yeah, one of the characters looks into the camera and goes, if we stay in Baltimore, we will be shot and killed for sure. 100% that's what's going to happen. We live in the streets. We're going to be murdered. We need to get out of Baltimore.
How did you feel about the authenticity of this movie where somebody didn't get shot to death in the streets?
Nobody got shot, but a man did get jumped and beat up by three cowards, so they at least got the violence correct. There's plenty of violence in Baltimore.
Well, put a slug in his gut or something.
Yeah, kill the main guy. Of course, that's a great call. Have MTV's best kiss be with a corpse, please.
I wish the main guy looked more like Channing Tatum, because he can dance. He looks a little bit
like Channing Tatum. Did you recognize that guy?
No, I have no idea who he is. Was he like on Young and the Restless or something?
He was on Wild and Out.
Oh, yeah, I never saw.
No, we watched lots of Wild and Out.
Yeah, I never did.
You definitely did. We watched lots of Wild and Out.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Alright, maybe you didn't.
You put it on, but whether I saw it and took it in.
Right, whether we weren't so high that we couldn't even function was a different story.
Playing my stupid motorcycle game on my laptop, probably.
Your motorcycle? I don't even know what you're talking about, dog.
You press up or down to get through, like, the...
Yeah, I know.
Levels.
I know exactly what you mean, dog.
It was like the most basic arcade game, and I'd just get high as a fartin' leaf and just stare at that for hours and play pressing up and down.
I definitely know exactly what you're talking about. Hey, this movie was produced by Summit Entertainment, and let me tell you a little something. 2008, when this movie came out, was also the year the first Twilight movie came out. So the Twilight or Summit was having the best year ever in 2008. They were crushing it. And then it was a pretty steep drop off after that. And I don't think they exist anymore.
Yeah, starting a studio is easy.
Yeah, putting out a couple
like
of hit
maintaining
movies.
Maintaining a studio.
A couple of hit movies is no problem.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Steve. I'm looking up Summit Entertainment, see if they're still around.
I didn't know you could eat salsa.
You can certainly dance it. Is that good?
I don't know.
What do you want me to say?
There's a salsa scene, and the girl says, "I didn't know you could salsa," so I thought it was very funny if you twisted that to, "I didn't know you could eat salsa."
Well, I'm wrong. Summit Entertainment is killing it, actually, right now. I thought they were gone, but they do the John Wick movies, so they're laughing. They got a bank for days. They're fine. And they're still doing the Step Up franchise.
There is no way that I could prove this, but I was gonna guess John Wick for some reason.
It's got that feel. It's got that to the streets feel.
Yeah, to the streets, raining a lot.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah. Get ready for some wet dancers, because that's a staple.
One of my favorite parts of the beginning of this movie is that it's a tight 137.
Oh yeah, and if you skip the like darkest night part of the movie where everyone things falling apart, you know they're all gonna get better. So I always skip that part of the movie because like it's my least favorite part of the movies. So if you skip
and they
that,
basically skip it too because they do a montage,
right? But if you skip it, that shaves 2-3 minutes off your view time. So you're laughing, you're getting even closer to that tight 90.
I do want to mention one part of the sad montage is that they're longing to like have lunch with each other, like they're all at school having lunch separately, and I'm just like, have lunch together then.
Yeah, you can still be friends. No, you just can't, you just can't compete in the streets, that's all.
And that's their story arc during the sad part is that they can't have lunch together.
How much would you have hated it if you were on that subway train and a bunch of people started dancing and playing music in the middle of your commute home? I would have been so pissed. That's all I could think about, was just like, you're ruining these people's days right now. Nobody is enjoying this.
And post 9/11, are you kidding me? Get out of here with that dancing.
Yeah.
Vigilante dancing needs to stop.
True. And also, this was the height of if you see something, say something. So, yeah. I see a bunch of assholes ruining my commute home. Yeah, arrest them, officer. Put them to death, please.
And now it's see something, shoot something. So, you can't put a mask on the subway, no matter how popular Jabberwockies are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can we talk about the best cameo in this movie after Channing Tatum?
Yes, this movie has everything we talked about wanting in the last episode. The moose is loose, the Jabberwockies are there, and Channing Tatum comes in and does a full-on dance. Doesn't take all of his shirts off, but it's still good.
He takes, I mean, he strips down to a tank top, and that's good enough for me. That was enough to get my nuts.
Well, I wanted my wife to get her nuts so I could get my nuts. Hey. And the nuts didn't butter.
Oh no. Also, they're dancing to a Pitbull song, and that was very exciting for me as a huge Pitbull fan. You know, I don't support his stance on the pandemic. I don't support that stuff, but, you know, love your music, Pitbull. Separate the art from the artist.
As soon as Pitbull yells Pitbull during that song at the beginning, I went, ugh. And then when you're going to love this movie because of this.
Now, then Channing Tatum leaves, and this time for real. He definitely leaves, and he's not coming back for the rest of them. I'm right about that. He's not in the next three, but I love that they did a little baton passing moment in this one. That's very nice.
I think it's done well, because Nora's caregiver is going to send her to live with her aunt in Texas, but Tank Yum swoops in and is like, if you go to this school, I can convince her to let you stay. And I think that's like a strong enough pull and like contrast for the character.
Yeah, and it's good motivation. We get a little update on what's going on with Channing. He's going on tour with his girlfriend, the girl from the first one. I don't know what that means. I don't know what a tour of... they must be going on tour with an artist, because no one's paying to see dancers perform. What a waste of time that would be. Where's the artist?
Unless you're the Jabberwockies.
Well, of course. But even they have to go with something. The Jabberwockies aren't doing stadium tours.
Eventually. I'm sure they did, small, hockey arenas for a good 6 months before they were like, yeah, we gotta go with, Honey or something.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, we're tired. We dance every night. We're tired.
Can we get other people with masks in here or something?
I mean, legitimately, why aren't there 400 Jabberwockies? Why, what difference does it make? We're all wearing masks. You can't even see anything about us. We have hoodies on, gloves. There's no skin exposed at all. We could be anyone in these outfits, so why not have 400 of them and just swap them out?
I encourage you to watch the season of America's Dance Crew or Best Dance Crew.
Oh, yeah.
If you can find it, because I really enjoyed the Jabberwockies and their rise to fame.
I mean, their best moment is when Shaq danced with them. That's the best. He doesn't get higher than that, Jabberwockies.
Yeah, if you think that I didn't know it was Shaq, that's crazy.
How funny would it be if he took off the mask and it was Yao Ming? In like a fat suit, so he was big. He was not a fat suit, but just so he was bigger and more Shaq-sized.
Like took half a Madea suit off and just wore the Shaq.
Yeah,
Shaq suit.
Cut the beautiful breasts off the Madea costume and then just wore the rest of it.
Filled with sand.
Oh, hey, Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Why are you filled with sand, Artemis Gordon?
And 40-year-old virgin. Did they steal that from Wild Wild West?
Yeah, definitely they did. For sure they did. Yeah. Barton?
Bulls.
I mean, all art is theft. It's fine. There's no original ideas left. It's all just copy-paste and theft. It's all good.
Why have you forsaken me, God? That moment in that Jesus movie really messed with my life.
The Passion...
Yeah.
Why weren't you speaking Aramaic then?
Because I guess he says it in Aramaic, but I heard it in English.
Right. You were reading the subtitles, so.
Yeah.
you were reading it in your voice.
Exactly. He gives up at the very end, right before he's about to die. And the whole point is that he's supposed to give himself freely to, absolve us of our sins.
Yeah.
He gave up.
What the hell, Jesus? Get it together, bruh.
Dude, you got whipped for an hour. Die in peace.
Right? Come on. Get more whipping, please. Why wasn't there whipping in this movie?
There is.
Yeah.
Of my heart.
Oh.
And soul.
Of some ass.
Did you want to break dance after seeing these movies?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. How could you not? How could you not be filled with the urge to break?
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, man, Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo. We forgot about classic breakdancing moves. We didn't even talk about those.
That's a really fun one. The Spinning Room, I mean, does it get better than that?
I don't think so. Only when Freddy Krueger does it, I guess.
Do they do a Spinning Room in Step Up series eventually?
Ooh, I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me if they did. I could see, Moose doing a thing where he's, dancing up the walls and then, onto the ceiling, and people go, wow, that's weird. How is that happening, Moose? Are you okay?
Yeah, are you okay? Do you know gravity, Moose?
I'm possessed by the devil, is what he would say.
That's what he says at the end of every performance, just so he can explain it.
Yeah. Hey, for the viewers, the my dance moves, it's because I'm possessed by the devil. That's why.
And then they have a priest come out. Yeah. And then you go through the whole motion.
Blah, blah,
blah. Power priest compels you.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. He does a lot of Michael Jackson moves. So I guess he's kind of possessed by the devil in some ways.
He does a lot of Michael Jackson moves, and every time that happened during this movie, I yelled out, thief.
How dare you? How dare you steal from the master, Moose?
Like, talk about stolen valor.
I mean, yeah, you've seen Michael Jackson in that military uniform. It is stolen valor when Moose steals his moves. Yeah.
He went to Vietnam. They made Michael Jackson go to the front lines, and that's why they won the war.
Exactly. He was shamoning all over those Viet Cong.
Shamona! Do they shoot him or just enjoy the music?
Oh, he would just dodge. He would just do that thing where he goes up on his tiptoes and bends his knees and arches his back, and the bullets would just whiz around him.
There's got to be a video online of him being at the front lines of some war and just dodging bullets, right?
Any war. The Revolutionary War. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, get Napoleon in there.
Sure, hey.
The height difference, that's funny.
Splice him into 300. Let me see him fight for King Leonidas.
Yeah, he wouldn't fall into that well. He would just, like, move over a little bit and hee-hee.
Yeah. They were trying to throw him in the well, and he hee-heed his way right out of there.
He can hee-hee his way out of any situation, which is why he's still alive and definitely didn't die that day.
He was never convicted of possibly molesting kids. He hee-heed his way right out of that.
Hee-hee.
He was dodging those court cases like nobody's business.
Man, those hee-hees were serious, and we all took him seriously, he's a serious man.
He put out good music, though. Boy, did he ever. Hey, separate the art from the artist.
I guess.
Now, you know what? Dangerous is a pretty good album. I never gave that album its due, but it's pretty good. It's very 90s, so there's a lot of really crappy sounds and synths on there, but some of the stuff, when it hits. Earth Song? Oof, that's a good one.
Does the hee-hees pick up during that era?
The whoo! Like, that picks up a lot.
Yeah, but that's good. You go, whoo! In, like, a wind turbine with, lights on you?
Yeah, you got to have an open shirt with a shirt underneath so that the wind can catch it. And then maybe someone throws, like, newspaper in there so it looks like you're kind of in the streets.
And the world fell in love.
As they should. The man could sing, the man could dance. And maybe other things, who knows?
It's hard to talk about this movie because it's so good.
It is so good. It's just great. And I mean, like, I don't know what, where do we start? I mean, we've already started. So, like, Moose is there.
Moose, do you like his dancing? I don't know if I like the, like, skinny dude dancing.
He's like a mix of, like, Michael Jackson and, like, the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz. And, like, he's just, I always get excited when Moose has a chance to, like, put himself on display and like, show off his goods. Because I think he's a great dancer. But what do I know? I can't dance.
Well, he's definitely a great dancer. I just think, personally, it doesn't hit me where I pee, like, when I see a Channing Tatum dance. Mm. Or, like, the lead dancer in this movie. But also, Channing Tatum's dancing hasn't evolved yet. Like, it really, like, steps up in the Magic Mike series. Like, he has different moves to go to. He doesn't just, like, spin, vogue, and backflip.
Well, he does a lot of backflipping. That's his signature move, is his backflip. And he did a front flip off a trampoline, and I was like, hey, stick with what you know, Channing. No front flips.
And I'm just surprised how, like, stuck in time his dancing is and how much it evolves when you start watching Magic Mike. Although he does those things, he's it's just way more succinct and crisp and different.
Well, he's gotten better. He's got the money to hire a good trainer and a good choreographer to help him, as opposed to just kind of probably making it up a lot on his own.
Yeah, and doing it his way, and I definitely respect that. And yeah. Being a stripper to this? Hell yeah.
Being a stripper to this? To back to being a stripper?
To being a high school kid?
What an arc. It seems like a weird backwards arc, actually, but it works for Tatum.
I thought the dancing in this movie was way better than the first one. Mm-hmm. It's more varied. I think they have better talent, and they really focus on their individual, like, things that they bring to the table.
Well, they put together the crew, and the crew, of course, consists of a tap dancer, who we never see tap dance in any of the battles, Keto, an Asian girl, who we already talked about her. She's just, like, there. I don't know what she does.
Only eats meat.
A tall chick, who's not that tall. Monster, the stunt double, who I don't know what that means. He never does anything in regards to that. And Cable, the video yearbook editor. Who? It doesn't matter. Is he the guy in the fedora? Maybe. Oh, and Smiles has bad teeth. And Moose.
The daredevil guy that, like, breakdances all the time, he's only really shown when they're, like, dancing together and they're, like, breaking individually. When he's in the group setting, he's just kind of lost
because yeah.
he doesn't get to do his thing.
Well, and like, yeah, because I don't know what his thing is. Like, what is your, like, oh, he's the stunt double. But like, but what does that mean for break? Also, what does that mean for like live stage productions?
Well, they try to show it, but he's like a pirate or something. And he just like spins after he gets cut with a sword.
Yeah. And then like the actor tags back in, which yeah. is just. So weird.
Like, as an audience member, you're just looking at that and like, I see him like moving in and out of the scene.
What's I see the director come on stage and pick up the stunt double and carry him out. Monster. Well, hey, don't get used to any of those characters because I don't think any of those characters come back.
Keto might
actually. I think Keto might come back, and possibly also Smiles, the guy with bad teeth. He might be in another one. I remember his beautiful long straight hair.
I felt Keto was like the best dancer out of all of them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I like the main girl. I think the main girl's a very good dancer. And maybe Keto too.
The main guy was my favorite. I just thought he was brilliant.
And none of them are Moose level, though. Moose is the best. Moose ignores a phone call from his mom so he can dance to her Timbaland ringtone. And that's what I love about Moose.
Moose is a dancer's dancer. He's the one that everybody wants to aspire and wish they had the balls to dance like that.
I would have loved if that Moose dancing to his mom's ringtone scene would have ended with him answering the pin like, oh God, my mom is actually calling. I just was dancing to her ringtone. And he answers the phone and she goes, Moose, your grandpa's dead. And you go, oh, my grandpa. And then that's how the scene ends. Beautiful.
Moose, I'm dead.
Moose, this is the hospital calling from your mom's cell phone. I hope
she's dead.
Where were you? This is a very important phone call. She's in the hospital. Yeah. She's had a stroke. Oh!
Would have answered your phone 5 seconds earlier, we could have saved her.
you could have said goodbye. Oh! Poor Moose. Their health insurance isn't going to cover that. His family's ruined now. American healthcare system.
That's life and death.
Yep. Say goodbye to MSA, Moose, because your family cannot afford that anymore.
Definitely not on one income.
Oh, in this economy? No way.
What did you think of the Collins brothers?
Who? Are those house flippers or something? Who the hell are the Collins brothers?
The director and then the student guy, the main guy.
Oh, when you said the director, I was like, John M. Chu? No, he's not Collins. His name is John M. Chu. Thank you very much. I thought that they were dumb and weird, and they had a weird, contentious relationship, and also just like weird that the breakdancing brother during the auditions is just like, all these ballerinas suck. Let's see some breakdancing. It's like, this is an art school, bro. What do you mean? You have to have these ballerinas are incredibly talented. Just because you breakdance, you're just as snobby as the ballerina people.
Exactly. They're both sides of the, like, oh, there's only the streets. The streets is what's now. And then there's the conservative ballerina. What do they call it?
Ballet. Ballet. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the ballet crew.
Yeah. You have to be perfect form, and form is everything, guy. Mm-hmm. And I felt like they tried to, like, shoehorn that, like, storyline in there, and it doesn't really amount to anything at the end.
I mean, same with his ex-girlfriend. That storyline is a big, fat nothing. She exists to give Moose a love interest who never returns. She kisses him in this movie, and then we never see her again.
I like her as an actress. I think I've seen her in things.
I mean, I thought she was Stacey Dash when I first saw her, but she's not Stacey Dash.
More like Stacey Pepper.
Yeah. Yeah, lemon pepper.
Lemon pepper's all right. What's your favorite wing?
Oh, gosh. Boy, are we talking a sauce or a rub? What kind of wing are we talking?
Okay, give me one rub. Give me one sauce.
Hey, I'll give you one rub, and then you can give me one sauce. How's that sound?
Sounds like a t-shirt to me.
Oh, man, if we started, you want to start a food truck? Do you want to open a wings food truck?
Yeah, we'll call it Wing Nuts.
Yeah, we'll sell Coke.
That'll be great.
I think Rick Ross might own Wing Nuts now.
He won Buffalo Wild Wings.
No, I think it's Wing Nuts.
It's not.
Well, agree to disagree.
Agree to agree.
You know what Wing Nuts had that was great? Deep fried chocolate bars. Mm-hmm. They were fine.
They were good once every, like, 100 years.
Yeah, they were good if you got them fresh, but when your roommate brings them home from work and they're all hard and cold and congealed, they're not as good.
Yeah, same with the wings. Hard, cold, congealed.
Yeah, for sure, right?
And never microwave them.
Oh, God, no. But in terms of a rub, I love a lemon pepper rub. And no, I love a Greek rub, actually. I'm a sucker for a Greek rub, which has some lemon pepper in it. And then a sauce, that's a tough one, but I might have to go with just like a basic barbecue. I like all kinds of sauces, but I'll tell you this much. Keep your Frank's Red Hot off my wings. That's disgusting. I hate Frank's Red Hot. Vinegar-based hot sauces are trash. Get them out of here. I don't want them.
Well, I really like Frank's hot sauce.
Disgusting.
But my favorite is a nice, creamy buffalo that mixes ranch and whatever your generic hot sauce is at the restaurant.
Frank's. Frank's is the generic baseline hot
sauce.
It is. It's trash. It used to be Tabasco, now it's Frank's, and terrible. Yuck.
It's great, and buffalo sauce is my favorite, and as far as dry rub, it's got to be Greek.
Oh, it's got to be Greek, of course. Can you even name another dry rub besides lemon pepper?
Garlic salt.
Ooh, that's true. Ooh, I do like a... Here's the thing. I have a big mustache, as do you, but I'm not a big wing guy because of that, because it's too messy of a meal for me. If I get wings, I'd like a boneless wing that I can eat with a fork and knife, and if you want to make fun of me, go farting yourself. I want to keep my mustache clean.
I've been going for wings and drinks with a friend, and I will get a buffalo sauced wing, but it is like just the most annoying thing. I gotta lick my fingers all the time. I just look like a total dweeb eating these sauce wings, and that's gotta change.
It feels like a prank. Like eating wings feels like a prank where they're like, can we just make people just be disgusting and just be disgusting pigs? Can we trick people into doing that and paying 15 cents a wing? How does that sound?
And speaking of pranks, if you want to dance in the streets,
nice,
you gotta do a prank.
Oh, yeah, and that's what that awful subway dance was at the start, was the prank. Yeah. The prank was on just people trying to get home from their minimum wage terrible jobs they hate.
Yeah, a subway car consisting of 30 people, and like 18 of which are dancers with masks on in your face.
Yeah, not Jabberwockies.
No, no. Oh, if they were the Jabberwockies, everybody would have been like, oh, yeah, the Jabberwockies.
Oh, where's my mask, Jabberwocky? Can I join? Can I be a part of the Jabberwockies?
Do you think that they named them the 410 crew because they wanted to be the 420 crew, but, like, some studio a-hole got in and changed it?
Almost certainly that's the case, yeah. Although, I'd wager 410 is the area code for Baltimore. But
yeah.
I don't know for sure. I can't say for sure. But it sure seems like that's the case. Otherwise, where would that number come from?
Yeah, it's got to be an area code.
Oh,
I just like see somebody writing the script and being like, oh, 420, that's cool.
The 69420 crew.
I love it. I love 69ing. Of course. The best position.
Hey, do you know what couldn't disagree more, but fair enough.
It's the worst.
It's the worst. Do you want to know what my favorite line from this movie was?
Yeah, bet to me.
You might know it. It's, oh, Miss Thang, you got titties.
And like the dress is very normal. It's not titties out dress.
That's the thing. You see the dress and you go, "What do you mean?
Where? What?
She got more titties in the tank top she wears."
Yeah. This could have applied to literally every other outfit that she wore other than this outfit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh. I hate to be... We don't need to get into this too much because we don't want to be sexist pigs. But the main girl in this movie is very attractive. I find her very hot. I like her style. I like the low-rise pants with the midriff. God damn. That was an era of attractive women.
No comment.
Okay, fine. Look, I'll hit you up on MySpace sometime. How's that sound?
That sounds really good. I love movies that reference MySpace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially The Social Network.
Yeah, it's so stuck in a specific time that, like, that's what everybody was using. And
I guess.
Then we're just abandoned.
Yeah, and then society was made worse for it.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Although, like, MySpace, that would have been taken a hold of by corporations, too.
Yeah, that's true.
And it would have been the exact same thing.
I mean, I'll hit you up on MySpace sometime. Was the runner-up for best line in this movie, so.
Okay.
The scene where they go to Missy's family barbecue... And everyone's salsa dancing and having a great time. That was my favorite scene in the movie. I love that. I love that kind of camaraderie. That was great.
I didn't know you could eat salsa.
Hey, now I get it. and then they win or whatever. Or they don't. I don't think they do win. I think they don't even compete actually in the streets at the end. Because the DJ's like, nah, we don't want you here. You're not competing. And they go, well, then we're going outside to dance. And the crowd goes, all right, let's go out in the rain and dance.
Well, they won in their hearts, and their choreography is very specific to rain.
Yeah.
So that made me think that the Collins brothers are the ones who run the streets. They specifically choreographed the dance for rain and then called it on a day where there's rain. And that's what made sense to me.
All I could think about during that final dance was, like, be careful. It's probably so slippery to dance in the rain. I can't imagine something more dangerous for dancing than rain. And yet, like I said twice before, it becomes a staple of the franchise.
I'd be the guy in the background going, but it's wet. Be careful.
My shoes and socks are wet now. I don't want to do this. They're never going to dry in Baltimore. They're going to be soaked in my blood next week. Oh, my God.
I did sit back and enjoy the dancing, but I did think a lot about how did they choreograph for the rain.
Yep.
And also, this must have been a nightmare to shoot because you'd just be wet for so long.
Everyone must have been so... That's all I... God, we are old men because that's all I could think about during that scene was everyone must have been so cold during this. Just freezing cold, soaking wet for hours at night. They had to film it at night too. So like, oh, it would have been miserable. Like the people dancing might have been okay, but the crowd that had to stand there and be like, woo! I'd have been so pissed if I was an extra on a day like that. Yeah. To get $50 and a pizza coupon to go freeze your nards off in the rain. Ugh.
Not cool. And who told those people to turn on their cars and their lights? They're trying to use lights.
Yeah,
with
they
their
got
wrists.
Stupid lights on their fingers which is so pointless. Like it would work if the room was filled with like smoke, right? If the crowd was vaping and there was a lot of chuff in the air, then sure, I could see the lights working, but it's just lights on your hands, and if your hands are closed, they can't see the lights, so what's the point of the lights?
What is the point of the lights? I guess we'll never know.
Nah. What did you think of the music in this movie?
The first movie, the music made more of an impact on me.
Oh.
I was more all about the dancing and the apple-bottom jeans, I mean, of course.
Of course, yeah, the boots with the jeans.
But I was really taken in by the dancing in this movie, and I was enjoying the music, but I didn't make note of it.
Ah, see, they must have had a bigger budget for music in this movie, because there's a lot of Missy Elliott in it, there's a lot of Timbaland-produced beats in it, Swizz Beatz, Money in the Bank is a song that they dance to near the end, which I like that song, I like Swizz Beatz, One Man Band Man, not a good album, but it's got a couple good songs on it. What else? Obviously, Apple and Jeans, Boots with the Jeans.
That guy from the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah, Ludacris singing a slave song, which was weird. Like, pick a bale of cotton. I was like, what the hell is this? What is this slave music? These slave hymns that you're dancing to. But, you know what? Cool. I liked it. A catchy tune.
Very catchy tune. I guess I did note that there was Missy Elliott songs. Quite a bit of Missy Elliott
two or
songs.
Three Missy Elliott songs. Also, the 410 definitely won that comp. Like, their dance was better than the Final Cruise dance. The Final Cruise dance was fine, But the 410 was like exciting and like flowed really well and seemed to kind of work in a lot of different ways and had like different levels and people building things with each other. Like, it was really cool and creative. And the other one was just the road dancing in the rain. It's like, well, who cares?
They really used the space well. I will say that those last two crews definitely went on longer than anybody else.
Yeah, they definitely hogged the spotlight, certainly.
Like, the other crews were like five, maybe four people deep, and these guys had like 20 people that did like 10, 15 more minutes. Of course they're going to win.
For sure, of course. Well, they're the five-time reigning champion.
Oh, five-time.
They did it. Five times they did it.
It was lovely. I was enamored by this movie.
Yeah, this one was a good one. This was a, I mean, God, May I Have This Dance is just gonna be, it's just gonna continue to get better and better. And like, if you thought this one was fun, I can't wait to talk about Step Up 3D with you.
And like, in the pantheon of sequels, just generally, this is like a really good sequel to your first movie.
Mm-hmm.
It builds on everything and makes it better in almost every way.
Yeah, in an organic way that doesn't feel like they're just repeating the same script as the first one. Although they are, it hits some of the same beats, but not exactly. It's just, it takes it in a different direction. While it's still a dance movie, there still has to be a competition or a showcase or something, right? That's what dance movies are for.
But there's still stakes as far as the school is concerned, and I just loved every minute of it.
Oh, yeah.
Except for the sad montage.
Of course, yeah, that was garbage, and that's why I skipped it. I would wager that we're never going to see MSA again after this. I think the next movie is where they kind of jettison a lot of the, like, the weight from the first two movies and go like, look, we know what people want. They want moose, and they want dancing, and they want moose dancing. So we're going to give it to you raw.
Which I'm very okay with, because I was okay with it happening in this film. But I feel like it's transitioning to that point, and I'm fine with it once it gets to 3D.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so excited to talk about 3D. Well, anyway, I think it's pretty clear that we both loved Step Up 2, : The Streets.
And I'm very glad that we can openly talk about other things to fill time so we have a long enough episode.
I mean, we're at hour six right now.
Yeah. God,
remember our first episode that was 2.5 hours long? What an indulgent piece of shit that was.
Oh, man.
Listeners, stop going back and listening to that. Don't give those early episodes listens. We're going to replace them eventually. We're going to re-record them eventually. But for now, they are what they are.
Yeah. We will not go beat for beat through the movie and say every little thing that we want about
exhausting
them.
Exhausting, yeah. And not fun to listen to, I would wager.
Lost probably so many listeners,
right?
Because of that
the amount of people that catch a current episode and then go, I'm gonna go back to the start and listen to that and go, really, if you do that for any podcast, that's what happens. Like, you go back and you go, oh wait, they don't know what they're doing. They haven't found their sea legs yet. They haven't figured out the pure boys prayer yet.
Yeah, clap,
and that syncs us up really nice, actually. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, until next week, I love you.
I love you.
We love you, please. I didn't prepare. I almost just hit stop. I almost just hit stop during when we
said
P, that.
The U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's pure boys.
If people are still listening by now, they made a good choice. Yeah, I got two throats.
Sure, we got all kinds of secrets. You got two throats.
The R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's pure boys.
Hold up,
it's pure boys.
Say what? That's you who says what. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.